Now, listen, I've got to tell you something. We're starting late, as you know.
Yeah, no, I do.
And the reason we're starting late is because my wife ordered an Ocado. I don't want to pin it all on my wife. We get an Ocado every week. But my wife selected this time for the Ocado to arrive.
Yeah.
It turns out it's during our podcast record. Now, she's not here, okay? And I'm waiting.
Has your wife left you?
She's left me, yeah.
Yeah.
She's moved to Leeds. Just for the day, though.
Oh God, because for a minute there, I thought the way you told the story, she'd left you. And her parting gift was an Ocado delivery.
Well, what was it about the way I told the story that made you think that? Was it the sadness with which I told it?
No, it's just because I
was there a sense of loneliness in my tone?
I just assume when any time a wife or a partner leaves, it's for good. Oh no, the irony is,
as you and I both know, men don't leave.
Well, yeah, that's the joke, isn't it? Because you know, my mum, she stayed around.
Of course,
fathers leave. That's what I'm playing around in. That's the humour.
Of course,
right.
Of course, yeah.
And everyone knows that. That's what's.
Hey,
so
how
good.
Many dads does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Oh, just the one. I bet his new family love having the lights on in their house.
Their house. That's good. Yeah. Anyway, my point is that we're going to be interrupted. I would hope momentarily. I don't want to sit here thinking, well, they could come at any time for the whole show.
Before that, you know, obviously not going to get into Valkyrie, but we should chat about. We did a live Discord. It's a small audience, but a healthy, impassioned audience. And
none of them
really,
were terminally ill. That's what you mean.
They really got on board. But there was a really fun question. We played a Top Trumps Who's the Better Actor game, and it really, really struck a nerve, and it struck a nerve with me. There's a category in the game that I invented about range. Who's got range as an actor?
I can't believe you're still talking about this.
I'm obsessed with it at the minute.
You've texted me about this 7 times since it happened. You've canvassed for opinion across people that you know.
Well, you did set up a poll during the fucking Discord, mate, to try and pull my pants down, which
well,
your worked.
Your pants were pulled down. Pulled down.
Yeah, and then now your pants are pulled down because...
No, they're not.
The canvassing that I've done... Listen, you can't... Whatever, don't take a poll during a Discord as proof of proof be need me. All I'm saying is it's opened my eyes. It's made me more humble. I was definitely... I haven't even said who it is.
Yeah,
it is Nick Cage versus Tom Hanks. Who
in
has
the
got,
range category?
In the range category, who's got a better range? Now, due to factors based on, you know, whether how I stated what that category meant.
Due to factors out of your control, aka what it means to have range as
right.
an actor.
Well, but that is what's so good. But I think the category is a mirror. You hold up to someone and you say, Nick Cage, Tom Hanks, range.
Yeah.
And the answer you give, it reveals everything. It's like a Harry Potter mirror. It reveals everything you need to know about the person. Now, I obviously, because I'd scored it in collaboration with Colin, the answer in the game, Nick Cage had more points and range. And now this caused a furore. And I can see now why I was just like, oh, it's obviously Nick Cage, you know, and I ran through the films he's done. The Discord has been ablaze with
chat. It certainly sowed some discord, didn't it?
It absolutely did. And it's been friendly though. It's been lovely discord. There's such a wonderful, just civic conversation on there. No one's throwing shit at each other.
You sound like such a quote boomer when you say that, you know. It was a wonderful civic conversation on the internet, not like the kind you would find on social media.
Well, do you know what? I care about that. I like how people treat each other and talk to each other on our Discord. Anyway, I've defaulted to Cage. I thought any other Hanks chat was ludicrous, but it opened my eyes to my own failings. I looked in the mirror and I didn't like who I saw.
Who did you see?
I just saw someone who was just, who was didactic and had decided.
Wait, who was in the mirror?
Me, and my stupid face and my massive forehead. And
I thought maybe Tom Hanks was standing behind you.
No.
Right.
I love Tom Hanks. I think maybe it's a recency bias thing. If you look over the span of their career...
Ocado is outside.
Brilliant. Ocado's arrived.
Saved by the bell.
Saved by the bell. Go and pick it up.
I'll ask the Ocado driver which one he thinks has more range, and then I'll come back and tell you.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
I asked the driver, who do you think's got more range, Tom Hanks or Nick Cage? Guess what he said?
Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, the host, Adam Richmond.
Oh.
And this is the show where we, if you didn't know this, this is the show where we chat about the movies or films that we forgot we'd even seen in the first place. I do that with my pal and my wife thudding upstairs, Mr. Joe Devine.
Well, hello there. My wife is probably thudding around somewhere, but she's in Leeds today. So the people of Leeds will have to deal with her thudding. Not that. No, let me take that back. Let me take it back.
It is the 2008 Bryan Singer directed, Timothy Cruise starring Valkyrie.
Yes.
And here is to the Letterboxd. It is a lovely, clean 121 mins. AKA 2 hours if you shave off the credits. And here is to the Letterboxd blurb. Many saw evil. They dared to stop it. I mean, they dared to, but they didn't actually stop it. I think that's confusing.
Yeah.
But not the film's fault. It's Letterboxd blurbs. Wounded in Africa during World War II. It all happens during World War II. Nazi colonel.
Oh, colonel. Col. Yeah, got it. Understood.
Colonel.
Nazi Col Dot.
Yeah, Nazi Col Dot. Nazi Col Dot Klaus von Stauffenberg.
Yeah.
He's only ever referred to as Stauffenberg in this flick, which I think...
Stauffenberg.
Very interesting, because when I was familiar with... von Stauffenberg from an episode of Red Dwarf, and he's referred to as von Stauffenberg.
Right.
I think the film wanted to make him feel less German.
Or less like a count or something, or like Dracula.
Yeah. Hey, no one. Yeah, he never gets called Klaus.
No, no.
Klaus, do you want to go and kill Hitler today?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, because you know who else is called Klaus, don't you?
Kinski.
Santa Klaus. So it's a little bit sort of... You know, it's a bit lame, isn't it, being called Klaus?
Yeah.
Can you think of any famous Klauses? Any other famous Klauses?
Probably lots of footballers that you know.
You see, the issue with what I've done is I've Googled it, but what I've actually...
He's Klaus with a C, not Klaus with a K.
Well, this is the thing. What I've accidentally typed in is famous clauses. Famous clauses including foundational legal principles like Magna Carta, for example. That's not what I meant. You know, famous people called Klaus...
This is good. Should we crack on, though, just because of your Ocado delivery?
You really don't want to hear about any more famous people called Klaus?
No, I do really want to. I'm the host, as the jingle has it, and I would like us to talk about the movie.
Right, because there's a couple of Klauses, I think.
I tell you what would be fun is every time we're having like a really good in-depth chat...
Throw one in.
You can just throw in a fucking roadblock of a... I wasn't listening to anything you were saying. Another famous Klaus is this one, and then we can play a jingle.
All right, fine. Yeah, so yeah, I can see how you've managed to be there, but I don't mind it because I quite like the suggestion. So I will allow you to carry on.
Nazi Karl Klaus von Stauffenberg returns to his native Germany and joins the resistance in a daring plan to create a shadow government and assassinate Adolf Hitler. When events unfold so that he becomes a central player, he finds himself tasked with both leading the coup and personally killing the killing the Führer.
Do you know what Adolf's middle name is?
No.
It's Finn. Did you know that, Finn?
No, I didn't know that.
Say it.
Adolf Finn Hitler. Yeah, no, I don't get it. So that's the flick. We've got Timothy Kruse as playing Klaus Schenk Graf von Stauffenberg, Kenneth Branagh, Henning von Tresco, Bill Nighy, Friedrich Ulbrich. Bill Nighy is tip-top in this. Terence Stamp, Ludwig Beck, Tom Wilkinson as Friedrich Fromm. Where's the general from? I don't know. That, they say that so many times in the movie. Where's general from?
I don't know. I expect he's from Germany, but I'm not sure.
The Red Witch from Game of Thrones.
Oh, you're just stealing lines right out of my my review now. Can I have one, please?
Yeah.
Okay. There's the guy from Ace Ventura 2 when Nature Calls. You know, his actual character name is Pompous General. He shows up just at the end. He's the one that rushes out of the building saying, "I won't do it, no, no, no." And he gets arrested and thrown in
That's
with General
Ian McNeice.
From. Yeah, Ian McNeice.
Ian McNeice.
Yeah, he's
really
the guy
good.
From Ace Ventura 2 when Nature Calls.
Well, you're not, well, actually, don't, you know, he's in more than that, actually.
I'm just saying.
He's from Hell. He's in the Black Dahlia.
Don't look,
he's
don't
in
look,
Conspiracy.
Don't look. It relates to a game. There's also the boss from Layer Cake is in the film as the leader of the army.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what we're doing. I believe I got Joe out on this.
Yeah.
I have not seen this in a dusty long while, probably since maybe in the mid-2010s.
Mm.
So over a decade. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to start it. I mean, I've been speaking a while, but I'm just going to say...
I could start it if you want, because you have been speaking a while and...
No, you're right. I was going
to
say something.
I've been trying to, you know...
Go on, say something.
I could say something really, really interesting.
Okay. I know, because I just know you didn't like it, and I was just worried that you're going to say the film was boring.
Klaus Adam was an influential American cellist and cello teacher, as well as composer. Now, Klaus Adam, known as is a music pedagogue composer.
Is part of the game where you have to say what they do and who they are?
Well, if that information's listed here, I feel it's only fair to give the listener all of the context, you know. So, for example, if I were to say Klaus von Bülow, I would want the listener to know that Klaus von Bülow was a Danish-British socialite, and he was convicted of the murder of his wife, Sunny von Bülow, in 1979.
Yeah, do you know what? I know who that is because Jeremy Irons plays him in a movie. It's called Reversal of Fortune.
Look at you with your movie knowledge. And that's how you know history, because you've seen it in the film. That's really nice.
You like history and wars. What do you remember of this flick? What were your memories of it before you rewatched it?
That they line them up and shoot them at the end. That's pretty much it. That he had a suitcase that he kept trying to get in there. The memory of that suitcase under the table, which for listeners who haven't seen the film, is where he puts the bomb, and it's an assassination attempt against Hitler. That gets crossed over in my mind with the suitcase that goes under the bench in the Pierce Brosnan art film, The Thomas Crown Affair.
Mm.
So those two things live in the same part of my mind. And when I saw that in this film, I did have a moment where I thought, I wish I was watching The Thomas Crown Affair. Now, what I will say...
The importance of the suitcase. This is the suitcase that holds the bomb.
Yeah.
That's in the wolf. It's not in the wolf's lair. It's in an office that is very close to Adolf Hitler during a war meeting, and the moving of the suitcase is historically important. It gets moved by a very thick table leg,
right?
And that is the difference between Hitler dying,
yes,
and not dying,
yeah, in his war meeting.
Yeah. And that's the flick's got that in there. It's important that these tiny little moments change the course of history. Isn't that interesting?
And the sir, your wife is calling for you, sir. Oh, God. Could you tell her I'm in a war meeting? Honey, I'm in a war meeting. I haven't got time for you. Later we'll have our home meeting and then we can speak. But right now I'm in my war meeting, you know, with a thick table leg.
I didn't even realise. I'd forgotten all about the coup side of it.
Really?
Which is so... I think most people didn't even realise or know that was all part of the assassination plot. And that's kind of the central...
Coup's the best bit. Coup's the best bit.
Coup's the side central bit to history. You're like, oh my God, it wasn't just enough to kill Hitler.
It wasn't.
They had to set up a coup.
Well, the thing about that is now, and speaking with historical accuracy in mind, they actually were just going to kill Hitler, but then Tom Cruise showed up and said, have you thought about doing a coup as well? Have you thought about what will happen afterwards? And all those guys, they hadn't actually thought about that. But when Tom Cruise said it, then they realized that they should do that. And so then they did that, you know? Pretty cool.
Do you understand how films work?
I think you put them in a tin can, is that right?
But you understand how, like, this is like years worth of events.
Yeah.
And they've compressed it so we can understand it as an audience.
Yeah, they've compressed
it into 2 hours.
No, I've got that.
And so there are certain liberties, but it dramatically they need to sell the audience on certain key important historical elements, and like you have to follow a protagonist. And in this case, the protagonist is Stauffenberg, played by Timothy Cruise. And so,
yes,
it's just good writing to make him be the person to be saying, I think we're going to need to do a coup. Even if obviously that decision would have been taken by many, many, many men over fucking weeks.
And women.
And women too. So women were in the resistance.
Yeah.
In this film, what they've decided to do...
One of them's crying in this film.
Oh, Christ the son. They've decided to do it the way you tell a story.
Sure. Look, can I tell you some things I liked about Valkyrie?
Yeah, I've got 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes?
Okay. No, I'm joking, because like, you haven't got that many nice things
to say. Things I liked about Valkyrie. Klaus Lundekvam was a former Norwegian footballer who spent most of his career at English side Southampton. Here's the things I liked about the film Valkyrie. The coup. I like the coup bit. When they're trying to organise the coup, that's quite a lot of fun, okay? I like watching the administrative will going into that. I like the sort of the fear, the notion that these people, for better or worse, are invested as soon as the assassination attempt happens. And despite the fact that they're unclear for a period of the film whether Hitler is actually dead or not, they have to just proceed anyway. So, you know, there's scenes where there's Tom, a Cruise, and then is it Terrence Stamp who's playing the politician? It is, isn't it? They're on the phone to all these local generals, and I really like that. I think that's quite a lot of fun. And I mean, that's really for me when the film comes alive. I would say the whole second half is from the assassination attempt until they're caught and killed. That's fantastic. Like that bit. I wish there was a way of getting to that quicker. The second half of the film is very entertaining. The first half of the film is incredibly boring. It's so boring.
This is where you show yourself up as someone who just doesn't understand what storytelling is. Because the only reason...
That is so fucking rude, man. That is rude. And personal. Okay. You stepped over a line there, okay?
Okay, your character wouldn't
say that. I show myself up for not understanding what good storytelling is because I was bored by the first half of Valkyrie, a film that everyone has forgotten because it's not that good. Go on. Tell me what I don't understand about storytelling.
Well, no, the only reason the second half is as compelling as you find it is because of the work that the first act has done. That's just how it works. You can't get the second bit without the first bit.
You can.
I know what you mean, but at the same time, I kind of don't. I'm sorry for being quite hateful in the way that I put it. I thought it was funny when I thought it. We were WhatsApping about it.
And the difference is it's what you actually think as well, though. It's what you actually believe as well as it being funny.
Do you know what? I'm glad that you enjoyed the second half of it.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you're not giving the film and the storytelling enough credit. It's had to do so much heavy lifting to get you to that point, to enjoy that, to enjoy all that fun, tense stuff. It has to get you invested in quite a lot of detailed historical gubbins.
I didn't say it was bad. I just said it was boring.
Yeah, I guess it's patient is all. Do you know what I think is quite interesting is like the whole opening sequence that's set in Africa where you see von Stauffenberg,
yeah,
you know, get shot up and you see how he got his eye.
I like that bit.
That bit, I don't think was in the original script. I did a little bit of research about this and Cruise said... we need this. You know, we really need to see how von Stauffenberg was kind of made, like, you know, what he went through. And let's make this big. That's quite a big, explosive, expensive sequence.
It's fantastic. And it also serves to show you not just that this central character has reservations, doubts about Adolf Hitler's Germany, but also his superior, the general, who actually is just the King of Rohan from the Lord of the Rings films, who even says the same line. He says in Lord of the Rings, he said, "What would you have me do?" That's like it's a straight lift. It shows you as well that his boss, the general, the King of Rohan, is also open to the notion of bending/breaking the rules a little to save lives. So it lets you into this idea that perhaps not everything is as it seems in amongst the military leadership of Germany, and that whilst we often think of Adolf Hitler as having a kind of an iron word that everyone would follow heedless, you know, actually that's not the case. So I think it's important for that reason as well.
Yeah, it's quite good. It's also got a fantastic way to establish why everyone's speaking English. It opens on Cruz. He's speaking German in voiceover. He's writing a letter. It's all in German. He's like, "Oh, Cruz is speaking German." No subtitles. And then you just hear this little, whilst he's speaking German underneath, Cruz speaking American underneath kind of comes in and then just takes over. And then from the rest of the flick, it's just English actors speaking English. You know they're speaking German. And Cruz speaking Cruz. I love it. I love stuff like that.
I like that choice too. I don't need any of them to be speaking it with accents for me to believe it. I think one interesting choice is that they had the actor who played Adolf Hitler, who I actually don't know. Who is the actor that played Adolf Hitler?
They put a little bit of makeup on him. Let me find out quicker.
I'll find out quicker, don't worry. It's David Bamber. We found out at the same time.
Oh,
it's David
Bamber.
Fuck
that guy.
Fuck that guy.
No, fuck that guy.
Oh, fuck, come on, that guy. Right.
Yes.
Well, anyway, he puts on a little bit of Hitler. He puts a little sprinkling of Hitler in there, which I think is probably important because you're watching someone that you really recognize as Hitler. So I think important for him to make that. Oh my God!
You've got to sprinkle a little bit of Hitler if you're playing Hitler.
David Bamber,
yeah,
is the cousin in Pride and Prejudice, the TV series.
Yeah,
him and Tom Hollander, who also plays the same cousin in the film. They're in the same film. One of them playing Hitler, the other playing a high-ranking Nazi official.
Hollander's great in this. Kenneth Branagh is good in this. Everyone is fucking great in this flick.
Can be.
I tell you what, can be. Yeah. Kenneth Branagh was in this as a good Nazi. He's in Conspiracy as one of the worst Nazis. And then he's also in Dunkirk as one of the Brits.
Well, Branagh. You can practically say home from here.
Range. This man's range travels all the way from London all the way to Berlin.
His range so good as an actor that he became a director. Incredible. Hey, would you like to play a game with me?
Yeah, defo.
Death? Death? You're gonna kill me. You're gonna fucking kill me. Why? Why? Because I fucked you? You fucked me. You came to my house. You came to me. I got you a car. I brought you your clothes. You took a fucking bubble bath. You wanted it! You wanted it! You came out to me! What was I supposed to do? Well, you lied to me! I tried to help you! I let you in! I was a good guy! I'm a good father! And you fucking fucked me! What? They didn't kill me! You're gonna kill me? Why? Why? You should fuck me! What the fuck? Fuck! This is fucking insane!
Now, what I did for this game, Adam, is I looked through the incredibly meaty cast list. You've sort of touched on it there, okay? But we have actors such as Tom Cruise, Ken Branagh, Bill Nighy, Tom Wilkinson. We've got
Kenneth Cranham.
Terrence Stamp. Yeah, Kenneth Cranham. Excellent. David Schofield, Tom Hollander, Susie Eddie Izzard, Ian McNeice, and of course, Carice Van Houten. Now, you know, I liked the second half of this film. I didn't love the first half of this film. So what I thought I would do is I'd play a little game with myself, all based on your expectations. Now, you mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast that we did a Discord special the other day, a special version of Top Trumps, where I played against the audience with a set of cards that you had created. I hadn't seen them, the audience hadn't seen them before, and one of the categories was Adam's rating out of 10. Out of 20? Out of 25? Can't remember.
But it was out of 10.
It was out of 10.
That was the simplest bit of the game.
It was quite confusing, the numbering system you've created. But my point is, that was really fun because we were playing with actors. We were playing blind, and one of the tasks was to guess what you thought of the actor. Not whether they were good or bad, but whether you thought they were good or bad. So I've taken inspiration from that notion, and I've played a little game in my head. This game is called A Better Film Than Valkyrie. Okay, and what I've done is I've selected one film with all of these actors that I've mentioned that they're also in that I think is a, that you will think is a better film than Valkyrie. Okay, but I've not done it, so I've picked the best film they're in. I'm trying to ride as close to the line as possible.
Yeah.
That, and only you will know how close to the line I've come. So I'm sure I'll get it wrong with some of these.
Yeah,
but you know, in the case of Tom Wilkinson, you know, I could have picked Michael Clayton, for example. I could have picked Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which are films obviously better than this. That would be boring. That's not what we're doing.
You don't get a point for that. You just, the obvious. Well done, Joe. You want to...
Exactly.
How close can you get to the... So the game is how close can you get to...
The game is how close can I get to what you think would be a film that would be ever so slightly better than Valkyrie, but not much better.
Brilliant.
And definitely not worse. Okay.
It's a brilliant game.
Okay, so here we go. If you want, you can say the actors' names and I'll tell you the film.
Okay, let's go from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Cruise.
Eyes Wide Shut.
No.
No what?
Not even close. Not better. Not even a tiny bit better than this.
You don't think
worse.
It's... You think it's worse than Valkyrie?
Yeah, easily.
Okay.
But I can tell you why.
I mean, I think you better, because I'm not sure listeners will understand that one.
Eyes Wide Shut is pretentious and even more boring than Valkyrie. You talk about boring. Like, its whole thing is boring and it never pays off.
I didn't find it boring.
Yeah, no, of course you don't, because that's fine. That's you, but then...
Of course you don't, because of what?
No, because I didn't find this boring. Boring is one of those subjective words that we toss around.
Sure. Yeah.
But
I thought boring was the kind of word we use for when people don't understand how good storytelling is. I guess you don't understand how good Eyes Wide Shut is. Give me another actor.
I don't. No, but also I rewatched Eyes Wide Shut recently.
Yeah.
I get why it's held in high regard, but it feels like more of an exercise in style than an exercise in storytelling. And so then I would prefer and think Valkyrie's a better movie.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, my tactic there was that I had assumed that you wouldn't think Eyes Wide Shut was as good as everybody else thinks it is, but I hadn't realised the extent to which that would be true. I thought it would be true slightly less than it is true. Do you know what I mean?
It's a great... Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I tried to play you... But you've like double played me. So now I'm worried that my sense is off of your perspective for the rest of it. But let's try. Let's keep going.
Go on. I'll try and play in good faith.
Yeah. Okay.
Eyes Wide Shut is just slightly under.
Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Valkyrie.
Go on.
happy to take the brickbats. Ken Branagh.
Harry Potter 2, The Chamber of Secrets.
You think that's slightly better?
I think that's slightly better than Valkyrie.
The worst Harry Potter movie that people consider the worst Harry Potter movie.
It is the worst one.
Of course not.
It's the worst one, but it's slightly better than Valkyrie, I think.
But you know, this game is about me.
I thought you might have to accept that because those films are successful and good and people really like them.
No, it's based on my taste.
All right, that's the weakest one. I say that. The next one's not.
There's so many. Do you know what? Let me give you the Ken Branagh movie that is slightly better.
I thought about putting Tenet.
Yeah, I mean, that would have worked. Tenet.
Fine, Tenet, okay. Because I think Dunkirk is much better.
Yes.
But Tenet is just slightly better.
Probably a lot better, actually.
Tenet's not... Come on, man. What world is this where Tenet is a lot better But Eyes Wide Shut is a bit worse.
Well, you're in my world, aren't you?
I know, and I instantly regret entering it.
This is the best game you've ever invented, and I'm so excited.
Right, come on, next one.
Bill Nighy.
I've played this one wrong as well. I thought you would be more open.
Bill Nighy.
The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Haven't seen it.
Have you not? Do you know what? It gets a lot of crap, that film, because it's, you know, silver screen and everything. It's a good film. It's a good film, that.
I'd give it a lot of crap.
Yeah, you would. You definitely would give it a lot of crap because it's twee. But actually, it's very interesting. And I wonder, the older you get, I wonder if you might find it more interesting, because there's some... It grapples with some serious notions of long-term monogamy, relationships, you know? It's like, it's interesting in that regard.
He's in a lot of fucking shit, is old Bill Nighy.
I mean, he's in 250 films, I think.
I tell you what, the film I would have accepted would have been The First Omen.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
What about Page 8? You liked that, didn't you? You liked that one.
I prefer
one.
Page 3.
Oh, good Lord. All right, next up.
Tom Wilkinson.
Now.
Come on.
This guy.
Come on. You've got...
Everything. So things I could have gone for, but I won't because they're too good. As I said already, Eternal Sunshine, Michael Clayton. I think also included in this list, The Full Monty, which I think is a fantastic film. Grand Budapest Hotel. I think that's terrific as well. What I've gone for.
Is he in that?
Yeah. What I've got.
But not enough. Not enough to count.
He's still in it. It doesn't matter. It's not. This isn't the game okay. that you okay, made just... up the other day. He is in the film. Okay.
Checking. Okay.
I am going for The Patriot. I think The Patriot is slightly better than Valkyrie. You don't agree?
I'm just laughing because it's funny.
I can't.
I don't know.
I've obviously misjudged how much you were going to think that Valkyrie is like.
I
want to make fun of you so much.
I'm going to prefer a two-hour flick to a three-hour flick all the
time. Okay, the first half of The Patriot. Remember how you cried when his daughter runs after him? Remember? Did you cry during Valkyrie at all? Did you feel anything during Valkyrie?
Papa.
No.
I did when Tom Cruise finally does a Heil Hitler and then he reveals his little stub hand.
You cried?
No, of course I didn't cry.
I cried at his stub.
No, I'm just going to give you some credit. You spoke all over me. This is a great shout.
Okay, thank you.
This is a great shout. I will not answer either way, but this is a great shout.
All right, fine.
You've absolutely, like, Wilkinson's got such a story, like, to laser in so close. Yeah, I love it.
All right.
Terrence Stamp.
Wall Street. I've never seen it, by the way, but I think you will think it's slightly better than Valkyrie.
No, I won't. It's dated. It's dated.
It's dated.
It's dated.
Yeah, this is he thinks Ben Hur's the worst film ever made. it's so dated.
It's crummy. Nah, it's not. It's just what it's. You know, I don't think like you go back like Valkyrie's nearly 20 years old. It's actually not dated.
Right. Yeah.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
Got it.
They should make more movies like that.
Okay. Who's next?
Susie Eddie Izzard.
Ocean's 13.
Absolutely not. Not even close. That's a
Ocean's 12. Ocean's 12.
No. Those films stink.
Yeah, well, we're talking about Valkyrie as the comparison.
Ooh. Joe is fucking living with me.
All right, go on. Fine, just move on.
I forgot that I've got the list. Tom Hollander. You got the pick of the daisies here.
The Pride and Prejudice film.
With Keira Knightley.
Yes.
Apples and oranges, isn't it?
Well, it's apples and oranges, yeah, but it's they're both films. They're both fruit.
Yeah, but...
don't tell me that Valkyrie is better than Pride and Prejudice. That's just ridiculous.
But you don't even like the movie Pride and Prejudice.
It's about what you will think. And I do like the movie. I love the BBC adaptation more. That's all.
But then, so the film is faulty, right? The Pride and Prejudice film is faulty because, you know, Donald Sutherland isn't good as the dad.
Tom Holland is better as the mum.
Oh, absolutely.
As the cousin. The mum in the film is better because the mum in the TV series is, I can't remember her fucking name. She's in all those in those Ken Loach films as well, the Mike Leigh films. Yeah. Sorry, but she understands why she does it in the interpretation, but she plays it so big, it's hard to watch. So the film mum, I prefer.
Carey Mulligan just giggles throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, that's what the girls did. The girls giggled in the past.
Sexist. Listen, like, if this is when we get to, like, oh, what does range mean? What's a better movie? If someone calls a gun to my head, what do you want to watch? Valkyrie or Pride and Prejudice? It's Valkyrie.
It's not about what you want to watch. It's about what you think is a better film. You know what that means. You know what that means. You're just trying to...
I do know what that means.
...justify a way of saying Valkyrie.
No, I'm not... That's what everyone's going to think. That's what everyone's going to think, but that's not the case. But the film craft that's going on to make a film like Valkyrie, I think, is invisible, and that's why it's so good. Like,
yeah. As opposed to all the visible craft work that's gone into making Pride and Prejudice. Right, come on. I'm going to get you. Move on.
Okay. David Schofield.
Gladiator.
Yeah, this is where your gameplay possibly... No, I mean, because I don't like Gladiator, and you know I don't.
It's not about what you like. It isn't about what you like.
I don't rate Gladiator as a good movie. I think it's overrated, and I don't... It's so stiff and slow and boring.
It can be overrated and be brought down to be slightly better than Valkyrie.
But I think the filmmaking of it is so stodgy and boring. So I thought for a minute, like, you played it really well, and then I started speaking. I was like, realized, right, I don't think you have.
Yeah, no, okay, got it. Yeah, understood. Next.
enjoying this game.
Next.
No, I'm not enjoying the game. Kenneth Cranham.
Layer Cake.
Fuck off! There's no way Layer Cake is better than Valkyrie. Well, let's talk about it. It's the mechanics, though. It's like there are you get shown a bomb, and there's a particular kind of bomb that they can use, and it's a big block of C4. I'm going to say C4. It's not C4. And then there's like a pin you stick in, and then there's an acid thing that you stick in, and then if you break, you use pliers to snap the acid, and then you've got, like, I don't know, 5 minutes, and then that acid is going to eat through and then blow up the mechanism to then blow up the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I love that stuff. I love those details in any movie.
Yeah.
And so, and I think so does Chris McQuarrie. He co-wrote the screenplay.
McQuarrie!
And, like, that's all the stuff that he got. McQuarrie! He goes on to write and direct Mission Impossible movies. This is a Mission Impossible movie. It was Mission Impossible that failed. And this is so... do you know what? I was, like, watching this and, like, wanting him to go back to this kind of movie. I don't want to watch the Mission Impossible movie that he makes whereby they win. It's so much better than when he loses. But then you've still got all the fun little mechanics. We need to do a coup. You need to make sure you've got that guy on the inside, and he can pull out all the plugs in the telephones. It's just all this kind of fun little mechanics and gubbins going on.
I think you're right. It's a Mission Impossible movie that they fail, and that's probably why I don't like it, because I don't like Mission Impossible films. You know, I don't like all the stuff that you just said. I get really bored by the stuff that you just said. I like films that glaze over all of that bullshit and just have a table that explodes, you know? Put the bomb in there. I don't want to know how the bomb's made. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's maybe why. And also, the main reason, and this is, I'd be curious, I actually don't really understand this with any depth, but I was thinking about this today, and I've thought about this before, because there's a clear difference in the sorts of films that you and I really engage with and enjoy. And the films that you like this, and I would include Memento in this as well. I think, to me, Valkyrie and Memento are cut from the same cloth, right? They're about small details. There's a kind of mystery element. There's also a a process. You called it a procedural before, right? They are clever films.
They're detail films.
They're detail films.
Put that thing there, write some notes down, go and see a guy, do a thing.
Sure.
It's unconnected to character sometimes.
And it doesn't make me feel anything. And that, I think that's why, because it is so unconnected to character. The only scene in Valkyrie that I really liked is the scene where Karis von Outen gets out of the car again. She and the kids are leaving on the advice of Tom Cruise. They're going off to a safe place. The car drives off and then it stops and she gets out of the car and she runs back and she kisses him again because she knows it's the last time she's going to see him probably, right? And he remembers that later when he's watching his friends be shot by the firing squad and he's waiting his turn and he gets killed last because he's Tom Cruise. He thinks of that scene. And that's the only humanizing element for me in the film. It's why I don't like films like this. I don't feel anything. That's why I was bored. Because when I'm not emotionally engaged, I'm not interested.
That's what, like, the great versions of those movies also make you feel something.
Sure.
And I get your point. Like, that's why, like, Memento, I have that feeling because it's about memory and you're watching someone sort of almost fighting themselves. And so I think in Memento's example, the feeling is baked in to the story. It is...
not for me.
Clever,
but,
clever.
You know,
not for you. Whatever. Like, people can dismiss that as clever, and I just think,
sure.
Well,
it's why I don't like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. It's the same sort of thing, right? It's just like, yeah, yeah, great, clever, good stuff.
But that's a great example. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. When you find out at the end, like you've got, there's all this the memory that Oldman's character, what's he called, Smiley. It keeps going back to this party they've had, and you think his memory is going back to that because the tinker and the tailor and the soldier and the spy are knocking about in the memory.
Sure,
but like that's part of it. But really, it's about his wife.
Sure,
and it's about betrayal. And so I think that film again is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is better than Valkyrie because it has that. Not only does it have Gary Oldman in it,
yeah,
giving it a better performance, it has that extra emotional heft to it to take it to 4 stars.
Right. Do any films...
4.5 maybe for Tinker Tailor.
Do any films in this style, these sorts of details, procedural films that you're describing, any of them make 4.5 or 5? Is there a 5-star version of this film? I mean, there isn't for me, obviously, but is there for you?
I think so. Like, the ones that then are like pristine, executed, like these are thrillers, really. And so it's just the thrillers that thrill you the most and that are pristine and are perfect. I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But yeah, you know, they're there.
Are they?
You can't ask me that now.
So maybe like a Hitchcock film or something, or
I don't, because there's a bit too much horseplay in a Hitchcock to be.
He was famous for horseplay, like, Hitchcock.
For full-on thriller, yeah. Like there is that thriller element in North by Northwest and Vertigo, but then there's like in Vertigo there's downtime and a lot of horseplay.
I've got the most popular thrillers, the best thrillers ever. Do you want to hear some examples?
Yeah,
Gone Girl. Zodiac.
That's not a thriller. I think people don't know what thrillers are anymore.
The Talented Mr. Ripley. Get Out.
No.
Dead Man's Shoes.
I just rewatched that. No, that's not a thriller.
Split. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I like that one.
No.
Sicario. That's not really a thriller. That's an action movie.
Like Day of the Jackal, I think is... That's probably up there. I'd give that 5 stars.
You'd give Day of the Jackal 5 stars?
Maybe 4.5.
Wow.
But it's up there. It's fantastic. I rewatched that recently. It's just cracking. It's a cracking flick.
Oh, here's one.
Yeah.
Klaus Banzer, a German church musician, composer and director. His name's Banzer. I bet him and his friends have a lot of fun chats, if you know what I mean. Klaus Banzer.
You haven't seen it. This is the one.
Yeah.
Ronin.
I haven't seen it.
Ronin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the one.
That's five star flick,
right,
thriller.
Right. Got it.
It's pure, you do this, men doing things, objects. Oh, God. Hello.
Hi, is that Ronin?
Yeah, this is Dave. It's Dave Ronin.
Dave Ronin, yeah. Sorry, Mr. Ronin, yeah.
Yeah.
How are you?
So my friends call me Dave.
Your friends call you... Can I call you Dave?
Wait, I don't know. Who are you? Why are you calling?
My name's Klaus von Staffenberg.
Mm?
And I'm calling... First off, I should say, have you ever heard of me before?
Von Stauffenberg. That name?
Von Stauffenberg.
That rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play up front for Bayern Munich?
No, that was Klaus Lundekvam.
Right. Sorry. That's the only Stauffenberg I can think of.
They wouldn't let me play because I've only got one eye. Maybe that'll help you.
Mm.
I mean, it's possible you don't know who I am. That's fine also.
Did you try and kill Hitler?
Yeah, that's me.
Right, yeah.
That's
I should
me.
Have gone for that first. That was like, that's the big one, isn't it?
That is the big one, yeah. Anyway, I was just calling to see how it's going because I heard that you were quite highly rated and I'm rated too, but not as highly as you. So I just wondered, I'm just calling to get some advice, you know, to see if there's anything I can do to bump up my score a little bit. Because I heard that you have a high one, you know. Is that right, Dave?
Yes, I'm pretty highly regarded by some people. The people in the know.
Right. Because I don't know. I've never heard of you before.
No.
But you had heard of me.
Well, you're a historical figure.
Yeah. And you are a fictional, made-up person? Or what are you?
I mean, I'm the name of the kind of roaming samurai.
Right.
And within the world that I live in.
Got it. Just writing that down. Homeless samurai. Okay.
Should we play the box office game?
Yeah. Let's play the box office game for Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
That's right. Valkyrie. Now, of course, you'll recall December 28, 2008.
Ooh.
That's when this movie came out.
After Boxing Day.
Cruise loves a Christmas flick. And what better for Christmas and New Year? Take your family to see a plot against Adolf Hitler.
Well, who else is hot around Christmas? Klaus,
yes,
is coming.
You know who else is hot around Christmas? Australians. Because, of course, their season is the reverse of ours. So Christmas is in the centre of their summer.
Right, right, right.
Yeah?
I tell you who else is hot around Christmas.
Who's that?
It's people who have flown to Mercury. To the space guys who've just, they're like
the space
sat
guys.
On Mercury.
Yeah,
the space
yeah.
guys
I like
next
that.
To the sun.
I like that, yeah, yeah. You know who else is hot around Christmas?
No.
Little baby Jesus, because he's all wrapped up in a blanket and such. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know who else is hot around Christmas?
Do you know who else is hot around Christmas?
Who?
I think you'll find it's me,
right,
you know,
right.
Hot under the collar, cooking Christmas dinner
right.
for my bloody in-laws. And the wife is at my ear going,
oh, give me a piece of that body. You know who else is hot around Christmas?
Who's hot around Christmas?
Christmas's wife. She loves Christmas. Christmas makes Christmas's wife real hot.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So what's the budget? Is that what I'm guessing?
I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you the budget. You've got to guess the brackets, edumated, bust it.
Edumated, bust it. Well, they spent extra on this because Timothy Cruz said, we need to spend some money on this flick. He wanted it to go big and broad. You've got to admire the man. Anyone has got to admire the man, Timothy Cruz.
Right, yeah. He said, I think we should spend more money on this film, and they did. You've got to admire the man.
Well, yeah, who else does that? Who else puts their head above the parapet and says, let's spend more money on this movie where we all know the ending and I lose and I'm now German?
I think quite a lot of people ask for more money to make their movie.
No, they don't. They go to, and then everyone says, "Fuck off! Who are you?" It's like, "No, I'm Tom Cruise. We're gonna make. I'm the producer. I want this flick to be made. I want it to make, be made properly, and I want us to spend $70 million.
Pretty close, $75 million. There you go. There you go. Okay. Okay. I mean, I guess in theory, you could back to back. You could back to back, couldn't you?
Lest we forget. I remember. Didn't I do a 3 for 3 last week?
I'm saying you could back-to-back weeks. You could 3 for 3 yeah. 2 weeks in a row.
The way you just said that, I guess you could back-to-back. Back-to-back what?
Fucking hell, man. Jesus Christ.
Oh, he didn't like Valkyrie that has Tom Cruise in, and therefore I'm furious with him. I'm furious about everything.
What a narrative.
Oh, he didn't like Valkyrie, and it has, but it has Tom Cruise in, and it's written by
Christopher McQuarrie.
And it's directed by Bryan Singer, who directed simply the best film ever, X-Men Apocalypse. And he doesn't even understand what a good film is, except I also say that a good film is subjective. And I don't know why I'm angry.
Right, opening weekend, US and Canada. Now, lest we forget, we said December 28, 2008. Yeah. Huh? Come on, then.
Well, I don't think this film is fondly regarded or remembered. And I think at the time, everyone has always got the anti-Cruise agenda. It's always like,
it's the first time you've acknowledged.
You can't play a Nazi.
It's the first time you've acknowledged all day.
Let's all make a joke about this. Let's not watch the film on its own merits. Let's all say things about it before we watch it. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. How dare you? That's what they all say.
No one said that in 2008.
They did.
People only say it now.
No, they said it back then, mate. That's when he was jumping on a fucking sofa.
Sure, sure.
And I'm no Cruise apologist. I know it's
you're
like
such
it,
a Cruise apologist. You love Cruise.
I'm not.
You're obsessed with Cruise
because he keeps coming up on the podcast. Like, he's insisting we do his movies. So Jumper Territory 27, 75, Budjo. You'd want it to be making a strong buffo. Would be like from 20 to 30. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Is it making that Cruise? Does he bring people? It's a history flick. I really want it to do well. I don't think it does. 22 mil.
21 mil.
Oh, come on! Yes.
Have you looked this up ahead of time or something? How are
you always do this? That. That's absolutely outrageous. Because if you think that, we may as well not do the game.
Have you read these numbers in Tom Cruise's various biographies? All right, Gross worldwide.
Well, if the 8 to 10x rule applies...
When it rains, it pours. London buses come along.
What is to be expected and what does that mean? I think it was fairly semi-favourably reviewed, but there was always the sniffy side remained. So I think it'll do okay, but I don't think it's going to do great guns. So I'll say it exactly. Maybe it makes 210 mil.
201 mil. But that's a back-to-back. That's inside the 10% on all three.
It's a back-to-back. It's because I love Blade and I love Valkyrie.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Remember that song? Adam guessed twice in a row, pennies from heaven. Congratulations, well done. But sorry, if the thing is, if you hadn't just riled me up so much over the last hour about Tom Cruise in this film, I would have given you more flowers for this. Hold on. Wow. That's amazing, man. Do you know what? We've done over 100 episodes of this. And you never got 3 out of 3 in the 10% rule. In fact, you were saying it was impossible to do. You didn't believe in yourself. I always believed in you. 2 episodes in a row now, you've got the 10% rule 3 out of 3. It's incredible. How do you feel?
Well, I just think it's taken me this long to really take on board your guidance, you know, 10X rules and that. Cruise does always open, even if people are sniffy about it. So again, Cruise, a useful handhold. A lot of people to thank, and I'm really pleased about that. And I do feel really bad about what I said about how you don't know how to watch movies.
When was the last time you heard from your father?
Daddy.
Should we do the bit of the show where one of us reads out a list of movies they forgot with a view to catching out the other one on a movie they forgot to decide what flick we're going to do?
We shall.
Your turn to catch me out.
It is my turn. I'm going to try my best. Listen, I've refreshed my list, okay?
Good, because I've really enjoyed the flicks we've done recently. I'd love to keep that up.
Yeah. It's the first one's Valkyrie 2, the forgotten second assassination attempt. No, it's not that. I think I might have said a couple of these before, but, you know, we're over 100 episodes deep, so that is going to happen, right? Are you ready to begin?
Yes.
2004's Jude Law's Alfie.
You mean...
Have I said that before?
I don't think you have... But it is pretty, it's almost a non-movie. It's almost so forgotten. And I have seen it.
You have seen it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen both.
I think you might have said before that it was too bad to be a pick. I think also my second one was Garden State, and I think you said the same thing about that.
No, I would do both of those. I think Alfie, you got me. You have got me on Alfie.
Wow. All right. You want to do Alfie?
I mean, it's Jude Law.
It's Jude Law. Yeah, that's, to be honest, that's why I put it in there, because I thought if I put a Jude Law film in there, he'll probably say yes because he really loves Jude Law. I mean, he mainly wants to watch The Nest, but beyond that, he also likes Jude Law in other things. Gattaca, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
I don't like him in that new Uber ad. I'm actually, that really turns me off, Jude Law.
Really? You don't like the way that his mouth is covered with chicken sauce?
And he kind of goes back and goes, this on the other hand, ugh, oh, God. He's better than Andrew Garfield in an advert. He does still, he looks like he's slightly ashamed to be there.
Sure, yeah.
Come on. Surely he does not need to do that.
He does. And don't call him Sure.